When the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra began this season, closing down was a real possibility. But when the final notes of Mahler's Fourth Symphony ended over the weekend, they were not the orchestra's last. From St. Louis, Shula Newman reports on how one of the country's best orchestras beat bankruptcy.
Hundreds of St. Louis area school children recently filled Powell Symphony Hall to hear the final Young People's Concert of the season. The performance could have been the last for area school children if the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra had filed for bankruptcy, as many feared just 10 months ago.
Good morning.
Welcome.
We're thrilled to have you all here this morning. We've got a great concert for you.
Last August, St. Louis Symphony Management revealed that the orchestra had been running deficits of at least $5 million for the past 5 years. To help cover expenses, it had been dipping into its already small endowment. The orchestra needed to raise $29 million to pay off the accumulated debt, and it needed to make serious budget cuts. Gary Smith plays trumpet with the orchestra.
We look back over it now and say, well, you know, it was a stage of denial. No one believed that this could possibly happen to us. And then there was a stage, although I didn't realize it at the time, where there was incredible anger, and everyone was looking for someone to be angry with. So, I mean, it took a while for everybody to work their way through denial, anger, and then some understanding what the problem was, and then what will the solution be?
The musicians agreed to an 8% pay cut. Players and management also agreed to cut the length of the season by 10 full weeks and to eliminate European tours. St. Louis Symphony Orchestra General Manager Carla Johnson says the cuts wouldn't have been enough had the orchestra failed to raise nearly $30 million it needed to pay off its debt.
It's like a 3D puzzle where you have to put all the pieces sort of in together before they stand. So we needed to come to an agreement, and the agreement had to be based on the $29 million, which we didn't have when we were coming to the agreement. And it was pretty exciting there towards the end. Do we have the money? Yes, then we've got the agreement. Do we have the agreement? Yes, then we have the money.
St. Louis area foundations and individuals ended up contributing $31 million. Management and orchestra members also produced structural changes within the organization. Two musicians now sit on the 49-member Board of Trustees, which makes St. Louis one of only a handful of orchestras with musicians on their boards. The Philadelphia Orchestra reached a similar agreement in 1997 after a 9-week work stoppage. Philadelphia Orchestra President Joe Kluger says an orchestra is often forced by crisis to include musicians in its governance. But he says management needs to recognize that players bring more to the organization than just their musical prowess.
I think we're getting better decisions. I think some of this is the two heads are better than one concept, where the more people who have input into a decision, the better the decision is, assuming there's a process that is efficient, and that the leaders of the organization know how to spot a good idea where it comes from, regardless of whether that comes from a board member, a manager, or a musician.
Several music schools, including the New England Conservatory and the Eastman School of Music, are preparing performance majors to take a more active role in orchestra governance. Ray Ricker is director of Eastman's new Institute for Music Leadership. Ricker says the school developed the program because orchestras are only now starting to implement collaborative business models that other organizations started using long ago.
If a person has a piece of the action, sort of, if you can get buy-in from your employees, and if they can feel like they are making a difference, they're going to feel better about the organization and be a better worker. Well, it's the same thing in an orchestra. If they have more say in what repertoire is selected, or how music directors are selected, or if they can serve on boards, then they become more involved in the organization and it raises their morale.
While a number of orchestras are changing the way they do business, Jack McCullough, vice president and CEO of the American Symphony Orchestra League, says most orchestras are doing pretty well by real-world economic standards.
Orchestras are surprisingly resilient for what would appear to be a rather fragile economic entity. To the best of my knowledge, in the last dozen, even 15 years, there have maybe been 10 orchestras that have ceased operations for one reason or another out of the 1,800 that we know exist. And of those 10, 8 are back in business again. Boy, I'd like to put that up against almost any other industry.
The St. Louis Symphony Orchestra still faces challenges. Just a few months after the orchestra announced it had raised $31 million, Hans Vonk announced he was stepping down as music director and conductor due to severe health problems. Vonk had replaced Leonard Slatkin, who was instrumental in building the orchestra into an internationally recognized ensemble. Management and musicians agree that one of the difficulties they face now will be continuing to attract and keep the caliber musicians that Slatkin helped to bring to St. Louis. Even during the worst of the orchestra's financial turmoil last fall, violinist Becky Boyer said most of the musicians seem dedicated to staying.
My gut reaction was, should I sell my house or my fiddle if something horrible happens? But I feel very strongly about staying here and working and doing anything that is necessary to ensure the artistic stability of this orchestra.
Financial stability is still a few years off. It will take the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra about 5 years to pay off its debt, and it set an ambitious goal of raising $150 million for an endowment to make sure nothing like this happens again. For NPR News, I'm Shula Newman in St. Louis.